Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
LeBron, open three! God! 22 seasons, 40 years of age! LeBron James, 50,002 points!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It's a hell of a lot of points, and I'm super blessed to be able to put that many points up.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Coming up, Basketball Hall of Famer George Raveling, Broncos cornerback Patrick Surtain II. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. George Raveling's going to join us just in time for March Madness, right? And his book is out, What You're Made For. And one of the greatest to ever coach him up is going to be joining us here. And so many great Jordan stories, I'm sure, from back in the Olympics days. And obviously Jordan dominating days. And LeBron just had his 50,000th point last night, as he and Luka won their seventh in a row. There's lots of hoops talk to hit, and George Raveling will be here shortly. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. On the football front, great chat we just had with Daniel Jeremiah. During that chat, the Seattle Seahawks released Tyler Lockett. That ends a 10-year run for Lockett with the Seahawks. But first time I really ever heard of him, other than just seeing some of his Kansas State highlights, is when I'm sitting on the draft set and my phone buzzed, and it's Eric Stonestreet, who's always talking about Kansas State players, saying this guy is a great human on top of a terrific player. And sure enough, his 10 years in Seattle backed that up, to say the least. One of our favorite interviews, right? We would always reach out. And he would join us to give a veteran sense, a very level-headed sense. He's always looking over the steering wheel about what else is there to do with his life and his career and his platform things of that nature. And I just love talking with him. And he leaves with a decorated career, 1,000 yards or more for four straight seasons from 2019 to 2022. The only other person in franchise history to do that, Steve Largent. And he leaves Seattle ranked second to Largent in receptions and receiving yards and receiving touchdowns. That's what he did there. And his single season record for receptions with 100 was tied last season by Jackson Smith and Jigba. Hmm. So one of the greatest receivers in the history of the Seattle Seahawks from the third round choice of the 2015 draft is now a free agent, and a couple of spots that might just jump. I imagine Bobby Wagner is immediately calling Adam Peters to say, what do we think? You want to add another NFC West guy to this offense? How does McLaurin, Lockett, and Debo hit you?
Sounds pretty good.
Right? I know that they have a lot of other young receivers there. I don't know if they want to get longer in the tooth at that position, but at age 32, he's still got a lot left in him. And then how about a reunion with Pete Carroll in Las Vegas?
That's the one.
You know?
That seems too obvious.
Right?
Yeah.
So just a couple of spots just to mention, but one of our favorites is going to find a new address, and Seattle fans, I'm sure we'll wind up missing him. Meanwhile, as I just suggested, Tyler Lockett to Las Vegas, Max Crosby on his podcast has an eye on a reunion there. We just mentioned maybe Lockett as a reunion with the new head coach in Pete Carroll, who I saw at the Combine, with Chip Kelly, who I'm wondering if he said, you know, I saw what you had to say about Michigan's beating Ohio State in our game plan there. At any rate, he couldn't have been nicer. Maybe there is a fit there in Las Vegas with Lockett. But another reunion he has in mind, Max Crosby, is Davante Adams running it back there.
I know the competitor. He's an ultra-competitive human being. But it's a first year off an Achilles is one of the hardest things to do. You've seen it happen with Kirk. Kirk had a down year. It happened with Aaron. I mean, he struggled, like you said, early on, but he got better as the season went. I think with all the doubt and all the negativity around Aaron Rodgers, oh, he needs to retire, things like that, you know, he's getting caught by the Jets. I think he's going to come back and have a – I mean, I know he's 42 or 41.
Are you going to say MVP?
No, I think he's going to have a big year this year, and I hope it's in our town.
Well, I jumped the gun there about a Davante Adams reunion with Aaron Rodgers is what maybe he would have in mind. Rodgers going to Vegas would be an interesting thought.
I didn't like that until he said it.
Well,
if he's behind it, then
no,
I
understand that, you know. And you know, I met Max many times. He's been on this show. I hung out with him on game day morning. He also won an Antonio Pierce. Yeah. And they're in this mess currently because of what happened last year. And maybe it's not Pierce's fault or not. But listen, the guy wants to win. And they're about to release Gardner Minshew. And Desmond Ridder just got released. And, you know,
what's the plan?
Aiden O'Connell has been good when he's been healthy enough to be good. And is he a future quarterback, or is he one of those guys that can bridge you for 4 weeks if you need that guy? And I believe that's a role that he can fill very well. And he's great to have around as a self-made guy from Purdue, a walk-on at Purdue, who's now basically walked into Vegas. But that's not what I think, you know, could it be Shador? Would Rodgers go to a spot where he knows that he can get a call on draft night once again and say, guess what we've done? We've drafted a quarterback first round, but he's at the end of his career. And I don't know how many spots Rodgers is going to find in which he can win a championship. But Max Crosby wants him. And if Max Crosby wants him, I'm sure he's got some influence in the building. And Rodgers is looking for a spot. Rodgers is looking for a spot. And this wouldn't be a bad one for him. Because the other ones you're looking at for him, Tennessee, how far away might they be, right? The Giants could be interested in him. How far away could they be? I mean, there's no spots that he could join other than Pittsburgh, maybe, that would be ready to roll where he can be an instant add in the way that the Jets hoped he could be an instant add. Where else? Am I missing anything?
I just think for Rodgers, yes, all those spots sound great for him. I think if you're the team, what is your long-term plan? Because Rodgers has 1-2 years best case scenario left.
Right.
And then what? You're back in the same boat you're in now.
Unless you get the Jordan Love at the same time, and he is now well aware. He's joining knowing that.
Yes, but Rodgers, why would you sign for that if you're him?
Because you're 41.
Then stop playing. Because like you don't want the talk shows, whether it's me, an overreaction, or first take, all of a sudden week 5, week 6, should Aaron Rodgers be benched for Shador Sanders or Jackson Dart? Because that will be a conversation on Monday if he gets off to a slow start, he has a 3 or 4 interception game. Like, that will be the conversation nationally.
Steve Young had a perfect way of putting it the other day, that he knows, Rodgers knows what Brady knew towards the end of his career, and what he knows neck up is such an advantage in this day and age where the middle of the field is wide open and you can't be hit as a quarterback like you used to be hit. And so that alone is a reason why you could sit here and say, I can make some hay. And maybe he just loves doing it. And as Steve Young said, deciding that you don't want to play anymore, it's kind of like a death. And you'll hear a soundbite later on in this program from Travis Kelce talking about how part of the reason why he's playing still is because he, quote unquote, didn't want to leave this life. And so I don't blame Rodgers for wanting to continue to play still. Certainly if he's, you know, wondering about what is next, what will he do next, you might as well give it a try. And it doesn't matter what the first takes or the Rich Eisen shows say if you're Aaron Rodgers. Now, he may hear it and may want to go on Pat's show to clap back about it, you know, and it may fuel him. I don't know. But if the Raiders want to have him and Max Crosby wants to have him, and he could tell Davante Adams, why don't you come back? And you do have Tyler Lockett joining, and you do have Brock Bowers, and you do have Chip Kelly dialing you up, and you do have Tom Brady in the owner's suite, and you do have Pete Carroll, who's a veteran coach, and you do have Vegas, and you do have the chip on your shoulder saying, I'll go into Arrowhead and try and beat Brady. I'll be the silver and black quarterback. It makes it complete sense. And then you draft Shedeur Sanders potentially, and you know Shedeur might need some time. So there you have it. That's not a bad fit right there. As for Davante Adams, he's a free agent, guys. I mean, this is a big time free agent. Like if this was 2 years ago, we'd be going nuts as a collective national talk unit, mm-hmm. us, ESPN, other, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. but everybody thinks that he's less than because look what happened with the Jets and he wanted out from the Raiders. But before he left the Raiders, remember one of his last games as a Raider is he torched the Ravens? He torched the Jaguars and the Dolphins for the Jets at the end of the season in which is part and parcel of why the Jets are drafting seventh behind the Raiders right now. And he is still the man. I mean, he's 32 years old. That's all. He's got a Taco Bell in his house.
And a golf course.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you want to go back?
A pick and choose situation for himself? When was the last time he had that?
College.
Yeah.
Or week four when he chose to go to the Jets.
True.
I guess, but that was, I think his options were somewhat minimal at that point in time. I think now they're vast. Because, well, I mean, don't forget, the Jets had to acquire him. He wasn't just cut by the Raiders. So he is a free agent, and that is where I bring my my power rankings into the equation. It's a Wednesday. Oh. And I have my power rankings of Davante Adams' destinations.
Oh.
This is mine!
Power rankings!
There are many like it, but this one is mine!
Power rankings!
Don't forget the last time we did this, when it looked like the Packers were trading him. Remember we did a top five of top five destinations? Davante Adams was the original of the your team is on the, so just so everyone understands, like, he will fit if he chooses to go to your spot. That said, I think at age 32 he's looking for places that can win and win now and have quarterbacks that can help him out. So number 10, just to start this thing off fun, hey, CeeDee Lamb just redid his contract.
Oh.
How about CeeDee on one side and Davante on the other? Good luck. Good luck. 88 and 17. How would that look for you?
It would look great.
Okay.
Don't get my hopes up.
I don't know, man. You want to be selectively aggressive. This is not a bad guy to be selectively aggressive with.
That would be fantastically aggressive.
Okay. So I'm putting him number 10 on this list.
God, if he's listening.
And then for Davante, you know, last I checked, there's not a single ounce of state tax in Texas.
Yeah.
And then that would mean number nine on the list is the Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. How about him? And I know Stephon Diggs is coming off of a knee injury. How about you just add Devontae in here? Nico, Devontae, Tank Dell comes back healthy, hopefully. Goodness. Sooner rather than later. How does that sound
That's
for you?
Really,
that's
fun.
An embarrassment of riches right there.
Okay. So I like number nine on this list for Devontae Adams.
I like nine.
Number eight. They have a young stud quarterback and a bunch of guys that were available for you on your waiver wire, but Bo Nix handled things very well with those guys. How about we add Devontae Adams to Denver, Colorado?
Oh,
that'd be scary.
And that's Bo Nix's new receiver with Cortland Sutton and, you know, and Mims
When they draft Howard Warren?
Maybe they do that. And he gets he drafts his Joker, which is what we're hearing. He wants his Joker, which is the mismatch, which is the nickname for Sean Payton's nickname for a mismatch player.
Oh, I thought you were Jokic.
So, no.
It was Denver.
That's a good one. Oh, okay. Number seven on this list. Hey, come out to the coast. Have a few laughs. What about the Rams?
They got a spot open.
Yeah. If Cooper Kupp does get traded, what about Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua here at the same time for Matthew Stafford?
Who wears 17?
You mean who wore 17?
I got it. I understand.
Puka's going to give up 17?
No, yeah, I guess not.
Guys, let's not get lost in the weeds here. Let's get Devontae Adams for your the resale value on your tickets, Chris, alone.
I went to all but two games.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, it's the other guy who ditched the Yankees for the Dodgers.
This guy.
He's not here.
And also, guys, if he has a Taco Bell in the crib in Vegas, imagine like the just incredible Mexican he's going to get.
Oh, yeah.
Get a here. Chipotle.
He's going to need Taco Bell.
Talk about crazy chicken. How about crazy chicken? How about the...
Hey, now.
You want to talk about Pollo Loco if he joins the Rams.
Block cost extra, guys.
Number six on the list. You just heard Daniel Jeremiah at the end of his appearance here on this program. When we talked about Brock Purdy, and he's like, hey, Debo's gone, and if they get rid of Ayuk, we need some receivers in here now, man. What about Devontae Adams joining the 49ers? He wants to be on the West Coast? You know? Guy went to Fresno? Name me an NFL team closer to Fresno than this team. There isn't one.
Yeah.
So geographically it works. West Coast it works. Shanahan offense. Let's go. Number five on this list, just to break it up. Anywhere Aaron Rodgers goes is number five. Run it back. More fantasy camp action. Certainly if it's the Raiders, right? I don't know if you'd want to go back to Vegas, but I mean,
his house is there.
My house is still there, and McDaniels isn't there anymore.
That's
and
true.
It's a different situation, but.
Different vibe.
Don't forget, on that NFLPA scorecard, one of the three teams that had an A in every single metric was the Raiders.
Yep.
So.
Here, coach.
If Aaron goes there, why not Adams run it back there or anywhere else he goes? If that's what he wants. And then number four, you want to talk about a reunion. Would he go back to Green Bay? Because they could use him. How many times did
How
we
many
just...
How many receivers do they have,
It doesn't
though?
Matter, though. Who has raised their hand and said, I will be here every game because I'm not getting hurt and I'm consistent enough? Who's done that for Jordan Love yet? I know the first year Jordan Love went as far as he went in the playoffs, and it was they arrived early, and it's just like, hey, look at him with all those young receivers that Rodgers said he was, he wanted more veteran guys, and look what he did with those guys. And then this past year, it was you were waiting for one of these guys to consistently just be the number one. I think they could use Devontae Adams back in Green Bay if he'd be so willing. Number three. How would Devontae and LaDidi work for you?
Oh,
LaDidi.
The LaDidi and Devontae show.
Oh.
LaDidi Devontae.
LaDidi Mekonke, are you here?
And Devontae Adams for Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert. How do you like them apples? I think it would be pretty sweet.
That's pretty fun.
Now, if you want a Super Bowl, you know where you want to go? Obviously, Philadelphia. I think there's no room for the end, but who the hell knows? Maybe they add Myles Garrett and Devontae Adams after paying everybody.
Wouldn't shock.
Okay. Kansas City. Yeah. We were talking about it all last year. Kansas City, Devontae.
Don't they need to get younger?
I get it, but why not? Dude, Devontae Adams with Kelsey. I know it sounds like Cocoon,
Well, you hit me with football. You hit me with the dude, DeAndre Hopkins, and you know.
I know that. Number two. But number one, the top destination for Davante Adams, in my estimation, for him and for the team, is the Buffalo Bills.
Ooh, I know. Ooh.
The MVP of the league gets Davante Adams. Where have we heard that before? Oh, yeah, that's right. Aaron Rodgers did that very successfully. And the MVP of the league, you know, we thought Amari Cooper could be that outside presence. He just wasn't healthy enough in terms of Keon Coleman. Can he grow into it? Sure. Khalil Shakir's not, they don't play the same role, I don't think. Davante Adams for Josh Allen.
He'd have to change his number, obviously.
I get it. I know that that would be an issue, but I would look past the number stuff.
Yeah.
I would look past the number stuff.
Take the number eight.
And that's my power rankings of Davante Adams destinations.
Okay.
He sounds scary on every team you list.
Doesn't it? But, well, like, that's why the original top five was what's his best, really his best destinations is your team. 32 years old. He's not that old, guys. It's not like he's 36, 36, 37, still trying to have at it. He's still Davante Adams. He's still first ballot Hall of Famer that's available right now.
After we talk to George Raveling, I have another idea of a team that might be interested.
Thank you, sir. Okay, based on breaking news?
Based on breaking news.
It's not, he hasn't gone somewhere, has he?
No, but okay. he wants to.
Let's get George Raveling out. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the greats. What You're Made Of is his new book. He's here on the Rich Eisen Show. That's next. Don't you dare move George Raveling in a moment. At the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, get deals so right, it almost feels wrong. Now is the best time to get that Hyundai car or SUV you've always wanted. Plus, every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of limited complimentary maintenance. Don't think you can get away with all that? Think again. But don't wait. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event is going on now. So visit your local Hyundai dealer today. It's a great day for a new Hyundai. Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois. When was the first time you met Jordan? When was the first time you met him, shook his hand, covered him, or something like that?
Yeah, the first time I met him was at that Midsummer Night's Dream game out there in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had, there were all, you know, that was a time where guys would play in these all-star games during the summer, and it was a real game. You know, it wasn't like they were out there like Globetrotters or something. They actually really were playing with egos involved. So that was the first time I had met him then, and we just sort of met after the game, talked, and exchanged phone numbers, and saw the rest in terms of how our relationship developed. It developed from that.
Well, I mean, if there's one thing that anybody learned from this documentary is that anything that Jordan ever played in wasn't just a regular game, right? I mean, that was a real, you know, that's one thing that that I'm sure if anybody needed to be introduced to Jordan, and there's a whole generation that did, they just learned that. And I've asked this question of every single person who we've had on this show. Did you learn anything from The Last Dance, Ahmad Rashad?
No, I didn't. I didn't because I think, you know, just like you said when you introduced me, I had a catbird seat to all of it. And it was one of those different sort of, I've never sort of been in a situation where I had sort of free access to the locker room, you know, to the training room, to their buses, I was just there. So I got a chance to see a lot of those things. But, you know, as a former athlete, I sort of knew about a lot of them too. I was glad that people got a chance to see the human side of Michael, and you see how much, how competitive he was, and how demanding he was. And I think what I take from that is, if you think Larry Bird wasn't like that, and if you think Magic Johnson wasn't like that, then you're not really thinking the right way. So it wasn't just Michael that was just a, you know, win at all costs, put your foot on the guy's neck kind of thing. All these guys were able to do that, but Michael, what separated him was his athletic ability was way above anybody's at that point.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. We're now part of the radio network, returning with us. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And look who has stopped by, a Hall of Famer and 100% an icon and an author of a new book, What You're Made For, Powerful Life Lessons from My Career in Sports, available now wherever you get your books. Ladies and gentlemen, back here on our show, thrilled to have George Raveling. Great to see
you,
George.
Thank you. Thank you.
What a pleasure to have you here, man.
It's a privilege to be here.
And your co-author, Ryan Holiday, a forward by some guy, I think I've heard of him, Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
How'd you get Michael to write the forward, huh, George? Go way back with him, don't you?
Yeah, I first met Michael in 84 when I was an assistant coach of the 84 Olympic team. And back at that time, the Olympic trials were held in June at Bloomington.
Mm-hmm.
And so we finally cut the team down. And all the time that we were at training camp and after we picked the team, I don't know why, but Michael and I just became like a little brother, big brother, and we spent a lot of time together.
And so you got a chance to just get to know him.
Well, in 80s,
did you realize he was that special from the very beginning, George?
About 3 weeks after we put the team together,
mm-hmm.
it was obvious that he was a multi-talented player, very coachable. Here's something interesting about Michael.
Mm-hmm.
He played for Dean Smith,
mm-hmm.
Phil Jackson, Chuck Daly, and
Bob Knight.
And Bob Knight. So he played for four of the greatest coaches in the history of basketball, and all of them came to the same conclusion that he's the greatest player who ever played or that they ever coached.
And the good reason, right? I mean, because of the way he just was. He just, like, what was it? He just refused to lose or refused to accept not
he
getting better,
himself,
right?
Like, he held himself to a higher standard than anybody else. And he was passionate about being the best. I tell you a quick story. At his basketball camp, my son and I ran a basketball camp for Michael for kids for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this one night, Michael comes out, and the kids are all circled around. He says, "I'm going to play somebody one on one. And if you can beat me, I'll give you a lifetime supply of Jordan product." and so the kid gets out, and he hits the first two. Because he make and keep it.
Yeah.
And so he hits the first two, and all of a sudden, Michael's playing like he's playing for the NBA championship. The next shot the kid takes, he smacks it out, he gets the ball, and then he ends up winning. So I'm taking Michael back to the hotel, and I said, "Mike, why didn't you just let the kid win? What difference does he make?" He said, "Coach, there's never going to be anybody in the history of basketball who's going to say they beat Michael Jordan one-on-one, and especially a 12-year-old kid." But he held himself to the highest of standards. And one thing that I think people need to know about Michael, mm-hmm. is that he is, if you win his trust, he's going to trust you with blind loyalty from then on. So I ran the camp for 22 years,
mm-hmm.
and not once did Michael ever say to him how much money we're making, so forth. Everything was about make sure we don't cheat the kids. And he worked on the game all the time. I can remember one night we're sitting under the basket, and he was, this was when he was making the comeback, mm-hmm. and he says, I got to really spend a lot of time working on my mid-range game now because my body can't take hitting the floor constantly.
Right.
And he was definitely a student of the game.
I just love, I can't get enough Michael Jordan stories, George Raveling, obviously, for many reasons. And one that I would love to ask you about, certainly based on the movie Air that mm-hmm. came out last year, is it true you were the one who guided Michael as much as you could towards Nike back in the day, George?
Well, it started with the 84 Olympic team. And so Michael and I spent so much time together. In our free time, Michael and I and Vern Fleming, we would go to malls, go to McDonald's, wherever. And so I built this relationship with him where he just trusted me. And I don't, other than maybe my relatives, I've never in my life ever had anybody trust me as much as Michael had, and almost to the point that the last thing I would ever want to do is disappoint him. And so we've had this unique relationship over time. In 84, after we won the gold medal and that, and someone asked Bob Knight, he says, Bob, who's the best player you ever coached? And mm-hmm. he said, oh, Michael Jordan. And Michael came and never tried to shine. He just played his game. Interesting enough, in the Olympic trials in 84,
yes.
Charles Barkley was the leading scorer, leading rebounder, and leading in assists in out of 80 players, and he didn't make the team.
Well, is it true that Bob Knight made you tell Charles?
Yes. Well, so what happened is we go in, and now we're going to get down to the final 12 guys, and so the other two assistants, C.M. Newton and Don Donahue from Dayton, we were Bob's three assistants. So we're in the room waiting for Bob for the staff meeting, and we all of us agreed that Charles should be one of the 12 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so we came in, and we started the staff meeting, started breaking down the personnel, and Barkley's name came up. And we all said, I had him in my 12, CM didn't, Don Donahue. And so when Baba asked each of us who the 12 guys were, and he saw that we all had Barkley, he was a little disturbed. He said, damn, I thought I put together a staff that knew something about basketball, but you SOBs don't know anything about basketball. He said, let me tell you something. I am not going to coach Charles Barkley. My mission is to put a championship team on the floor, not an all-star team on the floor. Wow. So anyway,
wow.
When the staff meeting's over, Bob says, George, you stay. I said, okay, I stay. He says, look, go over and find Charles in the dorm and tell him that he's cut. That was my assignment. So I got to go over and find Charles and tell Charles, hey, you're not going to make the team. He actually handled it pretty good. He said, after he cooled down a little bit, he says, I don't care. He said, all I wanted to do was to show these NBA guys that I can play at that level of it. And so he took it really well. But it would have been a little bit of a chore to coach Charles because, you know, Charles' mouth runs a mile a minute. Boy.
I'm sure Bob didn't, you know, that's part of the reason why maybe Bob Knight had that reaction about Charles, you know. George Raveling here on the Rich Eisen Show. So how did you get Michael to Nike? How did that happen?
Well, that summer, Michael and I were pretty much inseparable. All during that summer, It dawned on me that he would be an excellent person to be in the Nike family and that. And so I talked to him about it. I say, you know, after the Olympics are over, you should come with Nike. And Michael would always say, Coach, I'm telling you, man, I am not going with Nike. I'm an Adidas guy. And I said, okay, what are you going to do if you go up there and they ask you, put up enough money that you can't say no? He said, I'm just going to take the contract back to Adidas and say, you match this and we got a deal. Well, at that time, there was no such thing as a signature shoe. And so in the contract that said that Nike would have a signature shoe, Air Jordan, and so forth. And so Adidas did not want to do that.
Adidas refused to give a signature shoe
to match
that part of the contract.
To match that part of the contract. And so then that left Nike. And he still really wasn't ready to surrender in that. And so now the thing is, let's try to get him up to Nike for a meeting. And so one day after we finished pool play with the 84 team, there was a free day. So I told Michael, I said, Michael, come on, let's go over and meet. Sonny Vaccaro's going to meet us in Santa Monica, and he wants to talk to you about the Nike thing. And Michael says, Coach, I'm telling you, I am not going. I'll go over here because I need to get you off my ass, you know. He said, I'm going to go. And he went over and he listened and all that. And then he said, I asked him afterwards, what do you think? Same thing. I don't want to be with Nike. So Michael's mom now gets involved in it, and she says, if someone comes to you, son, and says, I can make your life much better and successful, don't you think we ought to at least listen? Let's go up and listen and hear what they have to say. And then if you still don't want to do it, then fine. But, try to pass around who got him to go up to the meeting. Well, the truth of the matter is his mom got him to go up to the meeting. If you go back and you look at the movie Air,
yes,
Affleck goes down to Florida to meet with Michael and tell him about the movie and ask him for his approval. And yes. So Michael said to him, I'll approve it on three conditions. And he said, what? He said, George Raveling has to be in it, Howard White has to be in it, who's Nike VP, mm-hmm. and his mother. And his mother must be played by Viola Davis.
That's a true story, huh?
Yeah, it's a true story. And he knew that was Michael's way of telling you, okay, you heard all these fictional stories, this guy did this and this guy did this. At the end of the day, it was his way of saying, my mom was the one who really got me to Nike. And of course, at that time, he had one of the two best agents in sports with David Falk.
Yes.
And so it was David's idea about the Air Jordan shoe and his mom had put in about the 5 cents per shoe on royalties and so forth. And so now you got Michael at Nike.
Up in Oregon.
Yes, Portland, Oregon. Uh-huh. But here's the thing. It was the first time in the history of business, a Fortune 500 company mm-hmm. is now using a black person to be the face of their company. That's a hell of a historic fact in itself. And then, of course, the rest is history with what he's done for the moving product over the years. And it's hard. I've said this to my wife a few times over the years. It's hard to go out for a day and somewhere you don't see someone with that swoosh sign up.
Yeah.
And with that Jumpman on it. And the other thing I would say, in all sincerity, mm-hmm. I think as great a player as Michael Jordan was, I think he's a greater human being. People don't know a lot of the things that he's done behind the scenes. There, he would get criticism because he doesn't do this. That's all BS. I know personally things that he's done that the public doesn't know that we're helping people live a better life. But he's just not one of those guys that's going out there and bragging on himself.
Do you ever, at any point in time, George Raveling, have you ever looked at Jordan and said, I told you about Nike? You ever have that one?
No.
Never. Hey, like, look at everything. I told you. Never once, huh?
I wouldn't dare say that to him.
Well, you were right, no doubt about that. The book, What You're Made For, Powerful Life Lessons from My Career in Sports. Just going to throw it out, answer it however you wish. What makes a great coach, in your estimation?
I think that what makes a great coach is that he has to be also a great leader. I think today, in my whole career, I never presented myself as a coach. Everywhere I went, I always said that it was about leading and teaching young people and providing an opportunity for them. When I was at Iowa, on my office door, it says, George Raveling, educator. And I was always a reminder that to me that I had a sacred opportunity. Think about this. The most valuable asset or that parents have are their children. And you get a chance. They allow their child the privilege. I get the privilege of coaching them, and to me, it was more important how many lives I save, how many lives I influence, than it was how many games I won. And so over the years, I've just tried to be as much of a servant leader as I can be. And here at age 87, my goal is to help as many people as possible live a better life.
You're the best, George Raveling. What a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
On this show. And just hearing these stories and your recollections and how everybody should go out and get this book wherever all books are sold right now. What You're Made For, Powerful Life Lessons from My Career in Sports, available now wherever you get your books. An honor to have you here.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
George, awesome.
George Raveling here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to the A to Z Savings event at AutoZone.
Yeah, happy to be here. Can I get some rotors?
Would you like brake pads with that?
How much are the brake pads?
Free with the rotors.
Free. Really?
Really. Free.
Okay, I also need some oil.
Would you like an oil filter with that?
Yeah, how much is that?
Free with 5 quarts of oil.
Free? Really?
Really. Free. It's part of the A to Z savings event.
You might as well call it A to Free.
At AutoZone.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
In the NFL, there's no margin for error. As we just saw, one mistake can change the outcome of a game and a season, and the biggest game at that. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. And that's why Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL, because they provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Imagine what it can do for you. I know. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but guess what? It makes the world of difference. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. And now save 40% on the new Sleep Number Special Edition smart bed. Limited time, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See store or sleepnumber.com for details. Can you just clean that up, please, sir? Thank you. I got to bring this up since we haven't spoken. The cart, you know the cart, what I'm talking about, the cart. You know?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
My cart.
Yeah. what happened? Did you go up to the cart and ask for a ride to take care of your business, or like what happened? What happened?
I would never ask for a ride to the locker room. But,
okay.
You know,
what happened?
People never ask for money too. But when you present it to me, I'm not gonna say no to it. So I came off the field.
Yeah.
I had come off the field like three plays before that.
Yes.
And I told my coach like, hey, I got to take a number two. Like, it's not looking good. And then we got a first down and got close to the red zone. So I was like, you know what? I'll hold it. So
yes.
We end up scoring, and I come back to the sideline.
Yes.
And the head trainer and the head equipment guy was like, hey, there's a cart down there ready to take you into the locker room to go to the bathroom, because we're playing in Detroit, and it is a hike from the locker room to the field. And plus, we're on the other side. So I was like, you know what? You can't miss an opportunity like this. So, you know, up the tunnel I went.
and the rest is history. I love, just know I left my mark in Detroit.
DK, you gave a scare to everybody who loves you and roots for you. I mean, you know, seeing you carded, we're like, wait a minute, what's going on? And then what a relief, you know,
right.
to use another analogy as well. I mean, did you have people after the game saying, what the hell did you do that for? Just walk.
Everybody after the game was like, bro, don't scare us like that. I'm like, I wasn't worried, so y'all shouldn't be worried. But I watched the video, and I wasn't smiling on the way to the locker room, so that's probably why everybody was a little worried.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the tweet. You're like, that clinch walk wouldn't have made it. That's what that's what you tweeted.
And we were wearing white that game, so it definitely would have shown.
YouTube.com, Rich Eisen Show for our entire archive. We got a minute and a half till our radio audience returns here. Always fun with George Raveling, man. So many great stories.
Icon, man.
Iconic. About Michael Jordan. Never told him, Michael, I told you so about going to Nike. The Jumpman is equally as recognizable as the swoosh itself, is it not?
The Jumpman is on NBA jerseys right now. So, yeah.
And college football jerseys.
It's going to be on a football. I saw that just came out.
Is that right?
Yeah, the Jumpman's going to be the official football for a handful of schools, including yours.
Okay. Very good. Boy, NFL news is just popping.
It's insane.
Popping.
Oh, I just...
Like fresh dough, right?
Hoskins just got in here with a one word.
Which is what? That deal?
You want it?
Not yet.
Okay.
Because I want to be able to explore the studio space without stopping.
It involves someone we heard
from. I know, we've already heard.
Earlier this show.
Everything is kind of meshing. Right? From Tyler Lockett to Davante Adams to Max Crosby to more Seattle news as well. My goodness gracious. Patrick Surtain is going to be joining us in hour number three of this program. Should we get his reaction on everything?
Yeah,
what's going on?
Yes. We should just start listing names and have Pat give first blush reaction.
Go. React to
react
us.
React to me.
Defensive player of the year. React to me.
Go. Davante, where?
Oh, by the way.
Maybe he can pitch for
Jay
some
Philly,
of these guys.
Thank you for the pens here.
Pens. Always
you're welcome.
First.
Always first. Now
thank
I will
for
be.
15 new followers
great.
Instagram.
You're welcome, sir. You're welcome. I'm an influencer back on the Rich Eisen Influencing Show. So let's take this one at a time. We mentioned before, I gave you the top 10 my power rankings for Davante Adams destinations, and he was the original top five list of best spots for your team for him to land, and the answer was your team, five straight spots. There's a new one of those.
There's a new one, yeah.
Because
yeah,
DK Metcalf has demanded a trade, and apparently the Seattle Seahawks are going to oblige him, and
they
the top five
acquiesce.
Teams that should go get DK Metcalf are your team. Your team.
My team.
And seeing this news.
Only my team. Nobody else's team, just my team.
Seeing this news, okay, I have no idea what happened there last year. All I know is Jackson Smith and Jigba was getting the ball a heck of a lot, and you saw what he was able to do with it. And having DK Metcalf in a fantasy league, you had him as well, I believe, last year, TJ. He didn't get in the end zone a lot, and the offense, but the offensive coordinator is no longer there. You know, Ryan Grubb went to Alabama, and they have a new way of doing things up there. But DK wants out, and the team is going to oblige him. And you know, all I can say here is this. Is that are wide receivers becoming the new running backs in the league? Because if he wants to be paid, and he wants to be paid $27 million or $28 million, whatever the market value is going to be, Brandon Ayuk said it last year, and the Niners are already thinking of getting rid of that contract. If you're not Justin Jefferson, we'll see CeeDee Lamb got paid. We saw, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, we're going to see Ja'Marr Chase get paid. T. Higgins, they're trying to figure out what to pay him. He's going to get $26 million right now on the franchise tag. Is that what's happening right now? Mm-hmm. That, hey, you're 27 and you're one of the biggest beast of a physical receiver around. We'll let you walk. Why would Seattle do that? There must be something going on behind the scenes. We don't know. They're very private about these affairs. I don't know. All I know is I saw what the Eagles were able to do with A.J. Brown, who is in the same draft and is the same type of receiver, right?
Yep.
I saw what he's able to do there. Why wouldn't you go get DK Metcalf if you can? Certainly, it's just 1 year. It's a one-year deal. He's going to want a new deal, I guess. Yep. But if you're willing, if he's willing to go on the, I guess, Stephon Diggs plan, which is show up, ball out, go walk to free agency, or unfortunately for Diggs, he blew his knee out.
Or you trade for him and get an extension done now. Save yourself some money next year.
I don't know, man.
Deal done immediately.
It's wild what's happening. Why would he be available? And then the free agent market now has DK Metcalf and Davante Adams on it. One's 32, the other's 27.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm trying to get the financial aspect of this.
DJ's a trade request. He's not a free agent. Dude, but he's available.
Oh, my bad.
I mean, it's going to cost.
You know what I'm saying? He's on the market,
of course.
So it would cost a team that gets him $18 million non-guaranteed, million, yep. And the Seahawks would save almost $11 million on a dead cap charge of $21 million. They'd save almost $11 million by trading him.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like our wide receivers now, we'll take you and you're great. But when it comes time to paying you top of the line market money, we're priced out.
Well, Seattle's in a weird spot. They don't really have the quarterback of the future there. They're trying to get a little bit younger. Defensive minded head coach wants to run the football. That's not the real spot for a guy like DK anymore.
Let me ask you this question. Once upon a time, there was a defensive minded head coach who loved to run the football in Tennessee who said, I will trade A.J. Brown over my dead body. The guy got traded. General manager got blown out. He's no longer there. And the guy who they traded him to won the Super Bowl with him after paying him. I'm not saying that that's what's happening in Seattle. And obviously, John Schneider knows a hell of a lot more about roster building than I do. And there's something maybe going on that where they're just like obliging him. There's the door, sir. But I'm just wondering what's going on. Because right now, there's a free agent, Davante Adams, and there's a guy available like a free agent in this guy.
Well, DK probably saw the Brandon Ayuk trade and like, hey, I'm better deal last year. I'm better than this guy. You want to pay him $30 million a year, $32 million a year?
That's what I'm asking is, would you rather pay someone like Saquon Barkley $20 million bucks, James Cook like $16, $17 million bucks a year, than a wide receiver that you're dependent on not having Patrick Surtain standing across from him and erasing him?
Not a true number one, DK, either. He works better with a compliment around him.
Well, so you could say that about any
he's
player.
He's not as good as
NFL.
A.J. Brown, we can agree, right?
I don't know. I think he's...
Really?
I think he's as good as him.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know. A.J. Brown, it depends on what you believe in. You know, is Jalen Hurts better appreciably than Geno Smith? I mean, Geno could spin it too. I think it is. Again, I've seen DK just dominate games. He is as physical as they come. You need to put on your hard hat to stop this guy. I just, there's always an iceberg. We only see the tip, and there's smart people in Seattle that clearly know what's up. And do they want to pay him $28 million a year? Do you want to pay a wide receiver $28 million a year? It's a question that you need to have answered. If you're the Minnesota Vikings, you're paying him more than that because Justin Jefferson is that guy.
He's as good as two wide receivers.
You can say that. But wide receivers can always have that day when Marshawn Lattimore is standing across from Mike Evans. You know that. You sometimes have your wide receivers, and it's just like 1 week in your fantasy league, that guy gets nothing because it's the matchup that you don't want to see.
Yeah, there's kryptonite, and then there's also 3 or 4 weeks where he's going to have, you know, 6 for a yard and a half and 3 touchdowns.
But this is why running backs, they're much less ball dependent They're standing right next to the quarterback. And they can do more than just run it as well. And that's why someone like Debo is more valuable, in my estimation, than most wide receivers.
Isn't it a lot harder to run 20 yards and catch a ball than it is just to have it handed to you?
Again, I'm just wondering again, are wide receivers like running backs where like we will have you up until a certain age, and at that point in time, we're just not paying our wide receivers $28-30 million. That's just not the way we're building a team. We can get young guys like the Green Bay Packers and go to work. Like the Kansas City Chiefs, go to work. The Eagles are kind of the outlier. Paying their guys top-of-the-line stuff and winning Super Bowls with them.